Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, where I cover stock market investing through the millennial lens. This isn't your dad's stock market, and certainly not your granddad's. You've got information coming at you from all sides. It's more information. It's information overload. It's the most information an investor's had to handle in history. You know, think about this. Your granddad got information from a ticker tape. I mean, literally tape coming through a ticker. Not following the tape at the bottom of CNBC on TV. Think about that. So the world's changed. And what I do with you every day at 12 o'clock is I share information directly off of my trading desk with a special focus on the interaction between traditional fundamental analysis and millennial execution tools. This is a millennial market. And if you want to excel, you've got to use these new tools. So first step, let's go through the market's activity today. And I'd like everyone to just do like a guided meditation. Everyone take a deep breath. Okay, relax, relax. The market's down. It's not the end of the world. But if you watch CNBC or any of the other financial news networks, everybody's screaming and running every different direction. Everyone loves to talk about October and impending doom. But this doesn't do anything to help us make money in the market. It just plays on our fear response. And you can't make decisions out of fear. So everybody relax. Market's been in a massive uptrend for a while, and it's due to have corrections along the way, and this is the sell-off. This is one of those corrections. And so, of course, we have to parse through the details and figure out, is this the beginning of a major trend change, and how do we address that in our portfolio? But what you don't want to do is panic or start coming up with grandiose ideas about how, about the market crash of 2018. Let's just take a deep breath. Did you do it? Good. All right. So the news of the day, we all know we've got interest rates on the rise. We have a Fed chairman. And according to Jim Cramer, who I personally enjoy listening to and think he has a lot of great insights, his opinion is that the Fed chairman has recently made statements that they're not going to care too much about data coming in. They're going to follow a path of raising interest rates. And it's his belief that's, why we're getting these disconnects. I spend less time on this desk figuring out the why, and I spend more time figuring out how I want to invest. I really don't care what the why is because it doesn't really do me any good. It's fun to talk about and try to guess, gee, why is the market going down? But all I care about is looking at algorithms that tell me when risk is elevated, when risk is optimal. We put capital to work when it's optimal, and we reduce it when it's when risk is elevated. So if you're following me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, ARMR, Algorithmic Risk Management Research, ARMR. If you're following me on Twitter, if you're looking at our website every day, we have a real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor on our homepage. It's rosenthalcapital.com. You will know that 12 days ago, we began the process of raising cash in our portfolio. 12 days ago. And I've been talking about it now ad nauseum for 12 days. On this 12 o'clock show, trying to help you. This whole point of this show is to help you get comfortable with algorithmic tools, tools that help you get on the right side of probabilities and statistics. Start managing your money with less emotion. That's what we're trying to do here. So I'm trying to share with you every day on the desk what the algorithms are saying and how it affects our own portfolios here. And then you can try to extrapolate that into your own process. And of course, you all have to do your own thinking. This is not hand feeding. As my dad likes to say, he's not going to give me a fish. He's going to teach me how to fish, right? That'll feed me for a lifetime. So that's what we're trying to do here. So 12 days ago, when I said to you, look, the algorithm is telling us to get out of small caps and mid caps. So now two of the five big indexes that we follow for you on our homepage, capital.com, are calling for caution. Take that information as you will, depending on your risk profile, and act accordingly. So if you're a high-risk guy, you're going to take that information. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to stop buying things, but I'm not selling anything because I think the market's going higher. But at least you stopped buying things at the top of the market. If you're a conservative guy, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to sell all of my small cap stocks. I'm going to sell anything in the portfolio that's not core to my portfolio. And I'm going to focus on the bigger indexes because that's where the safety and liquidity is. And then we went over the fact that for 7 days in a row, we talked about this each day for 7 days, the market was opening higher and selling off into the close, which is classic institutional distribution. And that's leading to the weak. That's going to lead to weakness. So be defensive however you want to approach defensive in your portfolio. Some of us are more aggressive. Some of us are more conservative. If you were real conservative, then you were aggressively raising cash in the 7 days after we told you that our algorithms were telling us to get out of the small and mid-cap group. Now, by the way, small caps have dropped $11 in 12 days since we told you to get out of the small cap index, IWM. $11 in 12 days, which is over 6%. Algorithms work. They help you gauge risk versus reward. And so we then told you just 2 days ago that our NASDAQ 100 algorithm had been stopped out back into cash. So now we've got three of the five major indexes in cash. That was 2 days ago. NASDAQ is down more than 3% in the last 2 days. And we said the only indexes left of the five that our algorithms are still long are the S&P and the Dow. But we mentioned, and if you're following our website, you can see on the risk monitor, that we're holding reduced positions on those two indexes. So we still have some exposure, but dramatically reduced. That's how we're handling it on our trading desk. And then this morning, geez, I hope you're watching Twitter because I'm trying to update you real time if I can. I mean, look, I'm running a trading desk, so it's hard to immediately tweet out if I'm, you know, making changes and managing a portfolio and talking to investors. But I do try to keep you up to date as soon as I can, and I update that risk monitor as soon as possible. At 10:30 this morning, our algorithms on the Dow Jones Industrial Average told us it was time to raise cash. DIA is the symbol. It was trading at 264 and 4 cents. That's where we exited the DIA position. That was at 10:30 this morning. Right now, DIA is at 260, right? So it's down another $4 from our exit just this morning. That was a trailed stop exit after a big run. We made a lot of money in DIA, and we got trailed out this morning at 10:30. So now we have four out of the top five indexes in cash, and if the market closes anywhere near these prices today, no doubt we'll be out of the S&P as well. So what our algorithms are telling us, of course, is we need the maximum defense in a portfolio at this point, and we've been moving to that over the last 12 days. So it's kind of an easier transition for us. If you're using algorithms, it's not an emotional thing, because part of the hardest thing about raising cash is in the back of your mind, that little gremlin is always talking to you. He's always saying, you're going to sell right at the low. You're going to sell right at the low. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be up tomorrow. And in a big bull market, that gremlin like laughs at you every time you sell because, you know, if it's not up tomorrow, it's up 3 days later. Okay. But you got to get rid of that process. If you use algorithms and you increase or decrease your risk depending on the statistical setup of reward versus risk, then gradually over the last 12 days, you've been raising capital, booking profits, protecting your portfolio. On our trading desk here, we entered the day with more than 50% cash. And so we're losing money today. Look, we're not 100% cash and we're not short, so we're losing money today, but dramatically less than the market. And it'll be an easy transition here at the end of the day as we lift the rest of the portfolio out and go to cash. And when I say lift the rest out, there may be some long-term positions you don't want to sell that you consider core to your holdings. Maybe some things where you're collecting a dividend yield and you're willing to accept, you know, more volatility over a longer period of time as you collect that dividend. I get it. There may be some things like that in our portfolio. So when I say raise cash, again, it depends on the type of investor you are. Totally legitimate. You could raise 100% cash if you want and start over. When all five big indexes, the algorithms of all five big indexes are telling us to be in cash, there's nothing wrong with being 100% cash. And then just methodically put the money back to work each time we get buy signals in the big indexes. When the reward versus risk is right again, our algorithm will tell us and we'll put some money to work. And hey, we might have to take losses on those positions. We put capital to work, we get stopped out, we wait for the next setup. It happens. You know, if you looked at our S&P algorithm back in 2008, so all you did was buy the S&P using SPY as your tool, you would have lost money in 2008. We can't make, you know, water from a stone. The S&P was down 55% in 2008. And our algorithms, if you were just buying the S&P every time you got a buy signal and stopping your loss along the way, there were six entries during the year, and you would have had a portfolio down a little more than 15%. So you would have lost money, but not nearly the kind of money that was lost as a buy and hold investor. So when you listen to this show and I share these tools with you, this is not, please don't think that this is an algorithmic shop where we're guessing the future, we're prognosticating, we're trying to, you know, outsmart the market. All we're doing is putting probabilities and statistics on our side. If it's a massive bear market and all you're doing is going long, you are going to lose money. But in that environment, you want to lose a lot less. So when it turns, you're putting a lot more money to work than the average portfolio, and you're getting back to break even and then blowing out to new highs while, you know, the market's struggling to recover. So there's many different ways to take this information in. And so I'm sharing with you what I'm doing on the desk. That's not to suggest what you should do in your portfolio. I don't know you. If you want me to tell you what you should do in your portfolio, pick up the phone and call me, and I'll be more than happy to have a one-on-one conversation. Figure out what your risk tolerance is, and we can discuss it. And I'll share with you how I would approach it. So for me, there's going to be positions in the portfolio at the end of the day, but it's dramatically reduced. There won't be any index positions in the portfolio because all of our indexes are telling us to be in cash. So the only thing left in our portfolio will be some what we call special situations, maybe some dividend yields, and, you know, a smaller position size of all of those. So nothing dramatic that would, if the market really plummets, it's not going to give us a hard time. But if the market recovers from here and goes higher, we still have those core positions. Little housekeeping. We were talking yesterday about the best indexes out there. The best groups. So keep your eye on the best groups, we were saying yesterday. Marijuana stocks, MJ, that's the best group by far in the market from a growth standpoint. But then we also had, I pointed out, the ITA, the ETF ITA, which are the defense stocks. Well, I want you to know, yesterday by the close, we were out of that position. We got stopped out, hit our stop. We're still long the pipelines. It's a big dividend payer. They were up big yesterday, down big today with the market. there's an example of something paying a fat dividend that we're going to try to, you know, maintain our position in, unless there's, you know, real, you know, something structurally that changes for pipelines. And then, you know, this is a very strange market. Anybody telling you they understand what's happening right now in the market is really lying, because they're just guessing. They're just using past experience. And this is the new market. This is 2008 plus market. This is a market where government institutions have a black hand involved in this. You don't see it. You don't know. You don't necessarily know what they're going to be doing. And it has a major impact on whether or not the markets stop, find support, and go higher. You'll never know. And one example of this strangeness is, if you want to say the market's going down because rates are going up, then I submit to you, why are the utility stocks the strongest sector of the market right now? Complete bifurcation from what is normal. 30-year, 20-plus-year bonds, look at TLT as the ETF for that, are cratering. Yields are going up dramatically, right? If that's really such a concern, then why are utilities near the highs of the year? This is a different type of market than we're used to. And it's like, you know, grabbing a balloon. Air pops out somewhere else that doesn't always make sense. And particularly today, look at the other group that's up on the day. It's the bank stocks. So now we have banks and utilities going up together on a day where the market's imploding. So there's not a lot of things that make sense right now in the marketplace from that old school style approach. I say it doesn't make sense. From an old school approach, we use algorithms here. Okay? Take a look at our algorithm designed for XLU, the utility index. It got long utilities on October 1st. Let's see what the price was that day on our entry. $52.50 on utilities, XLU. Right now we're looking at $54.70. As the market goes down, the utility entry point was ideal. You're collecting a yield, and utilities are trading almost at the highs of the year. So there's ways to make money even in this market. And algorithms help you do it. Now, I'm not long the bank stocks, because the algorithm doesn't have us long banks. But I just find it interesting that in the day of the market's plummeting, utilities and banks are going up together, just kind of highlighting things that don't make sense from an old school approach. All right, let's get to my lesson of the day. You know, rule number, 42. When the market is down big, there's two different types of down big days. There's up in the morning and then a sell-off that gets worse and worse and worse throughout the day. Those are the worst days to me, and they're the kind of days where the selling can really, really get out of hand. There were days last year, one day last year I think it was, where the NASDAQ 100 dropped 4% in one day and closed down 4% in one day. But it started up on the day. It rallied for the first 2 hours, peaked at around 11:30, reversed, and sold off to the close, and it just got crushed to the close. And then there are days like today where the sell-off happens immediately. And you've heard me say this over the last – I think this is day four of this behavior. Let's take a look at the chart. I'll tell you for sure. Okay. One, two, yeah, three. Okay, so this is day four. Okay, this is day four. Listen to this, people. This is important. This is 4 days in a row now where the market plummets in the first 2 hours. And then the bottom is in. So if you're panicking out in the morning in the midst of the collapse, unless you sell literally at the open, but if you're holding at the open and you see it crater at 10 o'clock, and you're banging it out between 10 and 10:30, or by 11:30, you're panicked completely because the market's hitting the lows at 11:30. You're every day for the last 3 days, you're looking back at the close saying, gee, the prices are higher than they were at 11:30. And we're getting the same setup again today. which is a really important thing to notice, because if today's rally, now the last 3 days rallied into the close, but didn't do anything aggressively, you know, not like an aggressive reversal. It was just a oversold at 11:30 and rallied back to the volume weighted average price the rest of the day and traded at or above the VWAP the rest of the day. So it's happening again today. If there's a day in here where it tries to rally and then craters into the close, then you know you're in a bear market. Now the correction is getting ugly. But if it rallies the rest of the day, and if one of these – every day we have a big sell-off in the first 2 hours, to me suggests this could be the reversal day. If there's a big move higher into the close, then you've set up a reversal day. We've got the S&P breaking below the 50-day moving average. We have the Dow breaking down to the 50-day, so it's at the 50-day now. We have the NASDAQ 100 broke below the 50-day moving average 2 days ago. So this is day three. It's trading below it. And the small cap and the mid cap are breaking below the 200-day. So look, right now, and at 11:30 it was the worst, it looks like the end of the world is here. The end of the bull market is here. And a major correction is beginning. It's possible. But in the very same breath, I've got to tell you that that's the look the market has had over the last X amount of years. Right before it reverses, puts in a bottom, and begins its process of going to new highs over the following 2 or 3 months. So before I write the market off, I have to see how it closes today. What's the rally like today? It's going to happen. It's already started, by the way. So far, the low on the trading session was the 1124 bar. The 1124 was the low of the market. 1124 bar. Right now, we're trading higher across the board. Totally expected. Every day, you get these massive sell-offs in the morning to the 11 to 11:30 slot. Somewhere in there at bottom, sometimes it's 11:42, which it was a couple days ago, anywhere around there. And then we start to see what type of buyers come out of the woodworks. Is there support for the market? And depending on how the market closes, will determine how we on our trading desk change our exposure. If there is no real rally, if it can't get out of its own way, then we'll be out of all of our top five indexes, and we will reduce any remaining position to whatever core holding we're willing to accept, and we'll step aside for a while and let the market do its thing and look for the next algorithmic entry point. So rule 42 was big sell-offs in the morning. You don't want to panic. You want to walk away from your desk and see what the market does after 11:30. 90% of the time, you're going to get higher prices at the close. Every now and then, you won't. You'll have to take bigger losses. That happens. But statistically speaking, and that's what this desk is all about, getting on the right side of probabilities and statistics and having those statistics play out in our favor over time, not panicking in the first 2 hours is key. Also, I just want to make a quick note. You know, I don't talk much about day trading, and you know, most of what we do on the desk is longer term investing and intermediate term swing type of investing. But in a big down market, if we actually start to go into a downtrend in here that lasts for a while, then day trading becomes very lucrative because you get these wild swings. You get these big sell offs in the morning, and then you get these great reversal opportunities after 11:30, or vice versa. You get a run up in the morning and a top, and by 11:30 you can get short and the market just implodes again. So we're going to start focusing on that part of our trading platform if we really get the sell signals today, and we're completely out of the big indexes. Then we're going to be focusing more and more on our intraday activity and taking advantage of some of these big swings. And we have algorithms that are written for the purpose of intraday trading. Before I wrap up, I just want to make a note. During sell-offs like this, I really get excited with these sell-offs. They really, it's not a bad thing to me. It's kind of a good thing. We've been doing research for a while. We've been putting names up on our whiteboard. We have not added a single new idea to the portfolios, you know, for the last 12 days because of our algorithm. So we had to wait. And we had all these great looking stocks. And if you've been following us on Twitter at Armor Report, hashtag Armor Reporter at Brett Rosenthal, you can see that we're, you know, every now and then I post stories or analyst upgrades of companies that we have on our whiteboard. Things like Zscaler and Carbon Black and, you know, the 5G companies and the cybersecurity companies and the cloud companies. These stocks, you couldn't buy a share. They were running away from you. But if you are smart and you are patient, you get sell-offs like this in the market, happen all the time. And God, these stocks are coming right down into, in some cases, below buy points. But they're going to set up great opportunities. I mean, one of my favorite investments is Splunk. We had a great run in Splunk. We bought it right using our algorithms. We sold it after their huge earnings announcement. It ran up. We booked profits, raised our stops. It trailed out. Great. Now it's back down to $100 a share. It's like these type of sell-offs are just beautiful. I talked yesterday about Blackstone. I mean, the stock was running away because they're going to be transitioning from an LP into a corporation, just like KKR did. The stock's down over 5% today. You didn't have to chase it when those stories were coming out. Stories were all over the CNBC and other financial networks about how, you know, Blackstone's going to be, you know, converting. And so the stock was up huge for a couple of days. Well, it's now it's dramatically below the prices when those quote stories were breaking. You don't buy stocks when stories are breaking. If you like the story, you put the stock on the whiteboard, then you wait for weakness. And here it is getting crushed. And then we'll get a buy signal somewhere down below or at the 200-day moving average. It has a yield of better than 6% at that point. We put the asset to work, put it in our portfolio. And then if that investment thesis is accurate of the conversion from LP to corporation, we'll make a fortune on the stock while we collect the dividend because we bought it right. You hear something on financial networks or you read something in your email box about a company you like, don't ever turn around and run out and buy it. It just never, never serves you well. Do research, be patient, put it on the whiteboard. Wait like a lion in the grass. And when it comes close to you, you pounce. I'm watching closely my favorite group. I think that marijuana stocks are real. I think that cannabis group is a huge investing opportunity in the next 1 to 3 to 5 plus years. So every time the market sells off big, I'm watching that group looking for entry points into my favorite stocks or into the group itself. And I also think that it's interesting as the markets are selling off in here, what that leadership group is going to do. You know, this isn't a new technology that you have to convince people of. It's not like cloud computing, let's say, before cloud computing was understood, or even the internet, right? It took a couple of years to get people to understand how important the internet was and start using the internet. People have been using marijuana for centuries. It's now becoming accepted. It's going to be a big investment group. I find it very interesting that it doesn't want to give up a lot of ground. Even today, the market down big. It's down 3% MJ, but holding on to most of its gains. I hope it doesn't. I hope it comes in so we can buy it cheaper. Okay, guys, be careful out there today. Follow our Twitter feed. We'll update it around 3:30, let you know what we're doing with our S&P position. And, of course, tomorrow and every day, I'll be here at 12 o'clock to try to separate for you the fear-mongering from the facts using millennial tools and the algorithm. Take care.